CDPF Online Disability Equality Capacity Building Course 2021 Online Presentation Module 3 Health, Mental Health and COVID-19. This is slide number 1 of 37. Presenters Richard Reza, General Secretary, Sarah Kamau, Acting Chair, Dr. Shruti Mohapatra, Acting Vice Chair, and Michael Njenga from the marginalised groups, all from the CDPF. Slide number 2. Introduction, Sarah Kamau, Acting Chair, CDPF. Introduction to Module 3, Health. Module 3 will discuss health issues with regards to how it affects disabled people. During the COVID-19 pandemic, the response disproportionately affected disabled people. They were left behind. We will learn the importance of having inclusive basic services, personal assistance and communication being accessible to disabled people in order to have an inclusive society. Food, nutrition and healthcare services are key aspects of general physical wellness for all. The need to access healthcare services cannot be overemphasised, and disabled people are at risk of contracting diseases more than non-disabled people. Slide number 3 of 37, Introduction continued. Article 25 of the CRPD on the right to health requires health professionals to provide healthcare to persons with disabilities on an equal basis with others, including on the basis of free and informed consent. Forced treatment, for example, where this occurs on the basis of disability, would not be in compliance with the Convention. Article 12 specifically highlights the universal legal capacity right, which should be accorded to disabled people regardless of their impairments. For example, disabled people with psychosocial, Down syndrome and mental impairments should be allowed to exercise their will and enjoy their human rights. Slide number 4 of 37, Introduction continued. During the pandemic, higher fatality rates for those in institutions, people with learning difficulties and those with chronic conditions who need support from the government were experienced. Today, we shall learn how health impacts the different types of disabilities, especially those with cognitive, psychosocial and mental disabilities. Universal health should be inclusive and responsive to issues of disabled people. What this means. We need, as CDPF and DPOs, to hold our governments to account to provide universal health that is inclusive and responsive to issues of disabled people taking cognizance of their different types of impairments. Slide number 5 of 37. The language the CDPF use. Disabled people. Why we still choose to call ourselves disabled people? In the Commonwealth Disabled People's Forum, CDPF, we call ourselves disabled people because of the development of the social model of disability. In the 19th and 20th century, a disabled person's medical condition was thought to be the root cause of their exclusion from society, an approach now referred to as the medical or individual model of disability. We use the social model of disability, where the barriers of environment, attitude and organisation are what disable people with impairments and lead to prejudice and discrimination. So to call ourselves persons with disabilities is to accept that we are objects and powerless. We also view ourselves as united by a common oppression, so are proud to identify as disabled people rather than people with disabilities. When we are talking about the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, we will use people or persons with disabilities. Slide number 6 of 37. The COVID-19 pandemic. Disabled people are more impacted more than others due to attitudinal, environmental and institutional barriers that are reproduced in the COVID-19 response. And then there's a picture that says 1 in 7 people is a person with disability. And there's some various graphics indicating people's disability. 1 billion worldwide. During COVID-19, persons with disabilities face more discrimination, violence and barriers to accessing information, education and services related to gender-based violence and sexual and reproductive health. Women and girls with disabilities are at higher risk. Slide number 7 of 37, Concerns. Huge population and a heterogeneous group. Most underprivileged and poorest. And then there's some infographics. It says, there's 1 billion disabled people in the world. 6% of the world's population are affected by deafness or hearing loss. 1% of the world's population need a wheelchair. 2.6% of the world's population has an intellectual disability. 17% of the world's population is affected by blindness or visual impairment. Most underprivileged and poorest, 20% of the world's poorest people have a disability. Slide number 8 of 37. Concerns. High-risk population. Many persons with disabilities have pre-existing health conditions that make them more susceptible to contracting the virus, make them to experiencing more severe symptoms upon infection, and elevated levels of death. There's three pictures now. One of them says, COVID-19 and disability. People with disability are at a greater risk of contracting coronavirus because of physical barriers to access hygiene facilities, need to touch things, and the difficulty in enacting social distancing. The next picture said, COVID-19 and disability. People with disability may have risks of developing more severe cases of coronavirus because COVID-19 exacerbates existing health conditions, particularly related to respiratory functions, diabetes, heart disease, and the immune system. And then there's a picture, another infographic, showing the COVID-19 picture of the bacteria, and coming from it are all the different types of disabilities that we talk about now. Slide 9 of 37. Coronavirus adversely affects disabled people in many areas of their lives: health and well-being, care and support, livelihood, vulnerability to the disease, mental health, access to information, education, increased domestic abuse for disabled women and girls. Slide 10 of 37. Health and well-being. Those with physical disabilities that affect the immune system, lung function, or other related factors are put at higher risk for serious complications such as confusion, delirium, stroke, liver failure, and seizures. 42%. Over 2 in 5 of those whose care has been reduced or cancelled said their health had gotten worse. Healthcare workers are not equipped to deal with disabled people. Those with such conditions as diabetes are facing problems getting their tests done. Those living in institutions or care homes and underrepresented groups of disabled people, such as deafblind, psychosocial, and those with a learning difficulty, are particularly hard hit. Also on this slide, there is a small article that's entitled COVID-19 Implications for the Disabled. It's been updated on April 3rd, 2020. It says, India's differently abled are left in the lurch by virus and lockdown. The government's measures, or lack thereof, failed to ease their burden. Almost everybody at some point in life becomes disabled. Those who survive to old age face increasing disabilities. According to Amartya Sen, disabled people are not only the most deprived human beings in the developing world, they are also the most neglected. Globally, 15%, around 1 billion of the world's population, lives with some form of disability, notes the WHO. The census in 2011 reveals that every 10th household in India has a disabled member. Disabled communities, elderly populations, and individuals with chronic health conditions are the worst hit by COVID-19. Nonetheless, there is little mention in the media of COVID-19's impact on their lives when millions are under lockdown. Persons with disabilities are more susceptible to viruses like COVID-19 relative to others. We take hand washing as a normal precaution, but persons with disabilities face serious limitations to follow this practice frequently. Besides, there is a lack of public toilets for them. Next is social distancing, but most persons with disabilities depend on others due to physiological constraints. Many disabled people have to frequently visit hospitals and rehabilitation centres. Slide number 11 of 37. Access to, still under health and wellbeing. Access to goods and services. The physical confinement through lockdown impeded access to goods and services that are essential for the well-being of persons with disabilities. This was especially critical in the case of health, rehabilitation and care services, and also in the case of medicines, diapers, assistive devices and special foods, among other goods. Access to food and groceries have become particularly difficult for persons with mobility issues. In India, Swapiman and NCPEDP's surveys revealed that 60% of persons with disabilities interviewed had no access to doorstep delivery of essentials by the government. Only 22% had the access to delivery of essentials. And there is another article from India Today, also on this slide. It is a headline, really. It said, month into coronavirus lockdown, disabled citizens wait for financial help. Many disabled citizens say they haven't received financial help announced by the central government last month. Others complain of serious problems they or others face, such as challenges with access to caregivers while under lockdown. Slide number 12 of 37, Care and Support 1. The near total lockdown meant that caregivers were overnight not able to... The near total lockdown meant that caregivers were overnight not able to be with persons with disabilities who depended on them. No passes, lack of transport, apartments and colonies closed gates. The disability report Scope, June 2020 in the UK, stated this has led to an increased strain on unpaid carers. In September, only 12% of unpaid carers feel they had enough support from social care. 64% of carers were providing 50 more hours of care a week. And there is a headline article from The Wire, and it says, lockdown leaves persons with disabilities stranded without caregivers. Underneath it says, the centre and several states have since issued e-passes to persons with disabilities, NGOs working for persons with disabilities and their caregivers. Then there's a picture of a wheelchair in a hallway. New Delhi, for approximately 70 million persons with disabilities in India, many of whom are dependent on caregivers or family members for their survival. Developments over the last few weeks show that while announcing the 21-day national lockdown on March 23rd, the centre did not pay much thought to how they would survive without any help. It was only on March the 31st that detailed guidelines were issued by the Department of Empowerment for Persons with Disabilities for issuing e-passes for them, NGOs working for them and their caregivers. Slide number 13 of 37, health and well-being. 75%. Over three quarters of disabled people are very or somewhat worried about the effect that coronavirus is having on their life. Times two. People with a health condition are twice as likely to feel lonely in the overall population. 43%. 43% of people with a health condition report high levels of anxiety compared to 35% of the general population. COVID-19 is having a greater impact on disabled peoples, and then there's a graph, and it's split into disabled people and the population as a whole, and it says COVID-19 is having a greater impact on disabled people's well-being. So 52% of disabled people against 48% of the population. Access to groceries, 25%. Of disabled people, 15% of population. Their health, 25% disabled people, 14% population. Compared to the data from October, disabled people were experiencing similar impact on their well-being and health, with a slight increase in concern about the effect on their lives from 70% and anxiety from 40%. Slide number 14 of 37, livelihood. Many respondents surveyed in both Kenya and Bangladesh have faced employment and job insecurity. They were most concerned about their finances due to a lack of access to government benefits and the impact of unemployment. In Kenya, 68% of persons with disabilities reported not being able to work, while 65% felt insecurity in their current jobs. In Bangladesh, 80% reported not being able to work, and more than 85% felt insecurity in their current job. This is Leonard Cheshire and UK Aid. And then it says a graph showing job and employment scenario in Kenya and Bangladesh. And it says not able to work is just under 70% in Kenya and just under 80 in Bangladesh. And then it says felt job insecurity is just over 65% in Kenya and 83% in Bangladesh. Slide number 15 of 37, livelihood. In India and most Commonwealth countries, disabled people work in the unorganised sector. Due to the pandemic, job loss was immediate. Most self-employed were overnight poor. Many of them do not officially come under the BPL category, so did not receive any financial assistance or free rations, although they are in financial distress. According to a survey done by the ILO Global Business and Disability Network, GBDN, in May 2020, the most frequent company practices to prevent COVID-19 infections among disabled employees are telework, flexible working hours and paid leave in developed countries and multinational companies. Slide number 16 of 37, England and Wales disability and deaths, 2nd of March to 15th of May 2020. And this is a table, table one, deaths involving COVID-19 by disability status. England and Wales occurring between 2nd of March to 15th of May 2020. And down the side of this table, it's quite hard to imagine it, down the side of this table, disability status starts at limited a lot, then limited a little, not limited, and then the total. And along the top, it says number of COVID-19 deaths, the percentage of COVID-19 deaths, the number of all deaths, and the percentage of all deaths. So I'm going to read along first. So disability status limited a lot. Number of COVID deaths is 11,489. The percentage of COVID-19 deaths was 30.3%, sorry. The number of all deaths was 40,349, and the percentage of all deaths was 28.7%. Disability status of limited a little, the number of COVID deaths is 10,958. The percentage of COVID-19 deaths was 28.9%, and the number of all deaths was 40,478, and the percentage of all deaths was 28.8%. Disability stated not limited, number of COVID-19 deaths is 15,509. The percentage of COVID-19 deaths was 40.9%. The number of all deaths was 59,723, and the percentage of all deaths was 42.5%. So it said, NB, 17% of population are disabled people in England and Wales. Slide number 17 of 37, risk of dying of COVID in the UK. For every one non-disabled woman who dies, 11 disabled women die. And there's a picture of that. For every one non-disabled man who dies, 6.5 disabled men die. There's a picture of that. Slide number 18 of 37, mental health. Social isolation and loneliness have been associated with increases in heart disease, dementia and other health problems, according to the National Academy of Science, Engineering and Health. Emerging research on COVID-19 shows that the coronavirus pandemic has increased psychological distress, both in the general population and among high-risk groups. Behaviours such as physical distancing, as well as their social and economic impacts, are worsening mental health consequences. Research on the psychological impact of mass trauma, e.g. natural disasters, flu outbreaks, suggests that the pandemic might particularly harm the mental health of marginalised populations who have less access to socioeconomic resources and supportive social networks. There are unique stressors and challenges that could worsen mental health for disabled people during the COVID-19 crisis. Research on past pandemics shows that disabled people find it harder to access critical medical supplies, which can become even more challenging as resources become scarce. Slide 19 of 37, access to information. Communication, accessible information, access to helplines. There is a general lack of accessible information around COVID-19. Most people have not been able to access helplines. Moreover, there is no dedicated helpline disabled people, which makes it harder for them, especially people who are deaf or hard of hearing or need easy reader pictogram information. After advocacy by DPOs that Odisha Daily COVID-19 Bulletin was supported by a sign language interpreter, He was slow and missed the sentences. Another round of persistent advocacy finally saw him changed and a new interpreter signed the news for deaf and hard of hearing viewers. 61% of government websites are not acceptable. I'll say that again. 61% of government websites are not accessible. Accessibility empowers users. And then there's the World Health Organization logo. Slide number 20 of 37. Impact on education of disabled children and students. Lockdown measures led to school closure for long periods. Disabled students often missed out on remote teaching by computer or phone, as did not have IT at home or it was not adapted for their needs. Some countries introduced lessons on radio or TV. The curriculum and materials that were offered was not differentiated. Lack of peer support and isolation led to increased anxiety and depression. Existing inequalities of income and social insecurity were multiplied. Poorer children and disabled children missed out on feeding programmes. Inclusive education was directly impacted by staff absence and illness. In UK surveys show a disproportionate negative impact on disabled children. Slide number 21 of 37. Increased domestic abuse and violence for disabled women and girls. Before the pandemic, disabled women and girls reported 2 to 3 times level of abuse as non-disabled women. It is estimated that 83% of disabled women will be sexually abused in their lifetime. And this is Humanity Inclusion, or HNI, to come up with that. Uganda. 3 of 4 respondents reported increased risk of violence since the pandemic began. 77% of women and 80% of men report an increase in economic, physical, psychological and or sexual violence after COVID-19. 1 in 3 women respondents report experiencing an increased risk of physical and or sexual violence. And this is AD International. Bangladesh, 39 DPO leaders, 8%, said that their members are at greater risk of gender-based violence due to COVID-19. 47% report that their members are at greater risk of violence at home and or in the community during COVID-19. OPD leaders report that risk of violence is greater among those with less food and or no income. That's from AD International. COVID-19 Disability Rights Monitor Global Report received 25 testimonies of grave human rights abuses, which included multiple forms of assault and violence. There are reports of sexual assault, domestic violence and police brutality against women and girls with disabilities. And then it says the impact of COVID-19 on disabled women from Sisters of Frida. And then there's a picture of a lot of women with a big banner that says Sisters of Frida are our voice. Slide number 22 of 37 is a photograph of various disabled people with a variety of impairments in Cameroon. The government strategising on better protection of disabled people against COVID-19, April 29, 2020. And at the side it says, success in DPO involvement, e.g. Bangladesh, Cameroon, Gambia, Guyana, India, partially, Malaysia, Maldives, New Zealand, Scotland and the UK and Singapore. Slide number 23 of 37. Article 11 of the UNCRPD, situations of risk such as pandemic. How has this worked out during COVID-19? Article 11, situations of risk and humanitarian emergencies, states, state parties shall take all necessary measures to ensure the protection and safety of persons with disabilities in situations of risk, including situations of armed conflict, humanitarian emergencies and the occurrence of natural disasters. The importance of Article 11 of the CRPD can be seen by the fact that in Australia, the UK and elsewhere, disabled people, despite their heightened risk to an adverse outcome from COVID-19, were initially left out of the emergency response plan for COVID-19 unveiled in mid-February, as noted by the CRPD committee. People with disabilities were not inherently vulnerable. It is attitudinal, environmental and institutional barriers that result in higher levels of vulnerability. people with disabilities may have underlying health conditions that makes them more susceptible to COVID-19. Pre-existing discrimination and inequality means that persons with disabilities are one of the most excluded groups in terms of health prevention and response actions and economic and social support measures, and among the hardest hit in terms of transmission risk and actual fatalities. The current position of only those with profound and multiple learning difficulties and not mild to moderate learning difficulties being denied vaccination in the UK is another breach of Article 11. Article 25, right to equal access to the same standards of healthcare and services as others and must take all appropriate measures, and SDG 3. Article 25, UNCRPD, reinforces the rights of persons with disability to retain the highest standard of healthcare without discrimination. However, the reality is that few countries provide adequate quality services for disabled people. Also, very few countries collect data to enable disaggregation by disability in the health sector. SDGs, with Goal 3 aiming to ensure healthy lives and promotion of well-being for all at all ages. Disabled people are an important disadvantaged and marginalised group to consider within the SDGs, as they are a large group, making up an estimated 1 billion people worldwide, and they experience a range of exclusions owing to multiple forms of discrimination and inaccessible environments in many spheres of life, including SDG 3 targets. Slide number 25 of 37. Barriers to adequate healthcare for disabled people. Prohibitive costs. Affordability of health services and transportation are two main reasons why disabled people do not receive much-needed healthcare in low-income countries. Just over half of disabled people are unable to avoid healthcare, compared to about a third of non-disabled people. Limited availability of services. There is a lack of appropriate services for disabled people. Many studies reveal high unmet needs for healthcare among disabled people due to unavailability of services, especially in rural and remote areas. Physical barriers, uneven access to buildings, hospitals, health centres, inaccessible medical equipment, poor signage, lack of interpretation, narrow doorways, internal steps, inadequate bathroom facilities and inaccessible parking areas create barriers to healthcare facilities. Inadequate skills and knowledge of health workers. Disabled people were more than twice as likely to report finding healthcare provider skills inadequate to meet their needs, four times more likely to report being treated badly, and nearly three times more likely to report being denied care. Slide 26 of 37. Article 12, the right to legal capacity. Most people take it for granted that they can make decisions and have them respected by others. Legal capacity is the ability to hold rights and duties and the ability to exercise those rights and duties. It's about both big and small decisions and is a prerequisite to enjoying all human rights. Historically, many groups have been denied of the right to legal capacity. Persons with disabilities remain the group whose legal capacity is being denied globally. Persons with psychosocial and intellectual disability are disproportionately affected in denial of their legal capacity. Slide 27 of 37. How is legal capacity denied? Full or partial guardianship. Mental health laws that allow for involuntary admission, forced treatment and deprivation of liberty on the basis of disability impairment. Informal guardianship. This is an informal regime of substituted decision making, e.g. where family members make decisions on behalf of persons with disabilities. Slide number 28 of 37. The paradigm shift in UNCRPD. All persons with disability are presumed to have legal capacity, and states must take all appropriate measures to ensure this is realised. Prohibits all involuntary practices, e.g. involuntary admission. Embraces a supported decision-making paradigm. Recognises will and preference to be the underlying principle in all decision-making process. Provides for safeguards against abuse and undue influence. Recognises the right of persons with disabilities to own property and access all financial services on an equal basis with others. Distinguishes between mental capacity and legal capacity. Slide number 29 of 37. Supported decision making. This ensures that information is provided in an accessible format that the person can understand. There is an evaluation of all available alternatives and their consequences. Support is provided to implement the decision. Examples: appropriate safeguards are provided. peer support, advanced directives, general or health, circles of friends, support agreements, family support, social capital, social workers. Slide number 30 of 37. What happens in difficult situation or crisis? General comment number one. Where, after significant efforts have been made, it is not practicable to determine the will and preferences of an individual, the best interpretation of will and preferences must replace the best interest determinations. How do we make a best interpretation of will and preference? Evaluate previously manifested preferences, attitudes, narratives, and actions. This could either be verbal or non-verbal. Provided unconditional and intensive support. Use of advanced directives. Slide number 31 of 37. Article 12, voice, power, choice. The right to legal capacity is critical in restoring voice, power and choice for persons with disabilities. Slide number 32 of 37. CDPF demands for building back better from COVID-19. The CDPF also calls on governments to take the following longer-term steps to avoid future human rights emergencies. Number one, actively involve disabled people and their representative organisations and civil society in planning the recovery process and emergency deinstitutionalisation plans. Number two, allocate adequate financial and human resources to support the transition from institutions to the community in line with Article 19 of the CRPD. Number three, debt cancellation in low and middle income countries. Number four, ensure resources and vaccines are shared top the maximum for global use through COVAX. Number five, learn the lessons for global collaboration in implementing SDGs by 2030. Slide number 33 of 37. Slide number 33 of 37. CDPF surveys and global monitoring reports show us a clear way forward. Achieving it will depend on civil society, including us and our DPOs. Deinstitutionalisation. 1. Develop an emergency deinstitutionalisation plan in line with Article 19 of the CRPD and General Comment Number 5, Right to Independent Living. 2017 of the CRPD committee. Number two, implement an immediate no admissions policy to large and small scale institutions. Number three, closely monitor the situation on institutions and release data and information on the number of infections and fatalities in institutions. Number four, guarantee immediate unfettered access to independent national human rights authorities, including NHRIs and NPMs, to all institutions, ensuring safety protocols and procedures are in place to enable independent monitoring and direct communication between monitors and residents. Number five, provide immediate access to food, PPE, social distancing measures and appropriately trained staff. Number six, provide accessible information in multiple formats about the state of the emergency. Number seven, ensure full access to healthcare on an equal basis with other citizens. Number eight, implement immediate measures to ensure that residents can contact law enforcement and complaints mechanisms and to ensure contact with family and friends. Number nine, ensure that persons within institutions have access to mental health supports and services. Number 10, prevent family separation and institutionalisation of children or parents due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Slide number 34 of 37. B. Disabled people living in the community. Number 1. Guarantee full participation and meaningful involvement of disabled people and their representative organisations at every stage of the response. Number 2. Safeguard community based services, including personal assistance, home supports and assistive technology. Number three, provide information about the state of emergency in multiple accessible formats. Number four, enact emergency measures to ensure adequate and affordable food and medication distribution throughout the country, including rural and remote areas. Number five, provide immediate financial assistance to disabled people to cover the additional cost of living and the rise in the cost of food, medications and other essential supplies. Number six, work with private sector companies such as supermarkets to ensure that food is delivered to the homes of disabled people who are unable to leave, and encourage them to allocate dedicated times for at-risk shoppers, including disabled people. Number 7, investigate and hold accountable police and other security services which abuse, injure or kill disabled people. Number 8, put in place necessary measures to protect disabled people who are in situations of risk, especially during curfews, lockdowns, shielding orders or shelter at home orders related to the COVID-19 pandemic. Number 9, ensure all security briefings and reports take into consideration the perspectives and rights of persons with disabilities during the COVID-19 pandemic. Number 10, ensure police officers and security forces are trained to be mindful of the specific needs of disabled people during the COVID-19 pandemic. Slide number 35 for 37. C, disproportionate impact on underrepresented groups of disabled people. Number 1, guarantee full participation and meaningful involvement of underrepresented disabled people and their representative organisations in decision and policy making processes. These include women and girls, homeless persons, children and those living in rural and remote areas. Number 2, ensure that legislation and policies are disability sensitive and recognise diversity among disabled people and the intersectionality of rights. Number 3, closely monitor the situation of underrepresented groups of disabled people and collect data and information on their needs. Number 4, ensure the implementation of legislation and policies, especially emergency response, is sensitive to the specific overlapping needs of disabled people. Number 5, provide access to justice, women's shelters, social workers, trauma counselling and other supports for survivors of domestic violence and sexual abuse. Number 6, ensure that all disabled children have equal access to healthcare, education, food and medicine and other community services on an equal basis with all children. Number 7, guarantee that essential services such as healthcare and mental health services are age appropriate and gender sensitive. Number 8, provide accessible community-based accommodation for homeless disabled people. Number 9, guarantee long-term housing and community integration support services for homeless disabled people. Number 10, establish a coordination mechanism within the government to ensure equal access to support services throughout the country, including remote and rural areas. Slide number 36 of 37. D, denial of access to healthcare. Number 1, guarantee full participation and meaningful involvement of disabled people and their representative organisations at every stage of health policy making. Number 2, prevent denial of health information, healthcare or health services on the basis of disability. Provide access to justice for those who have been denied access to healthcare. Number 3, disabled people, including persons living in institutions, enjoy the highest attainable standard of health without discrimination on the basis of disability. Number 4, require health professionals to provide healthcare and information to disabled people on an equal basis with other citizens, including persons in institutions. Number 5, raise awareness of disability rights amongst health professionals, including the right to access information and give free and informed consent to medical treatment. Number 6, ensure access to specialised health services, including rehabilitation. Number 7, guarantee free or affordable healthcare, food and medicine, and prohibit discrimination against disabled people in the provision of health insurance. Number 8, provide health information and services as close as possible to people's own communities, including in remote and rural areas. Number 9, ensure that health information and services are age and gender sensitive. Number 10, provide information about healthcare in multiple accessible formats. And the last slide, number 37, E, education. Number 1, with up to 1.6 billion children locked out of education, recognise that disabled children, girls and poor children are least likely to continue learning or to return to school. Number 2, governments need to make every effort to get all children back to school. Number 3, develop inclusive and engaging teaching to meet children where they are in terms of learning. Number 4, strengthen education workforce with teachers leading child-centred teams, drawing together parents and community to enhance learning. Number 5, expand the scope of education technology to provide teacher training and learning at home in future lockdowns. Number 6, ensure all learners get access to online or radio learning. Number 7, protect and enhance funding, especially for reasonable accommodations and support for disabled learners. Number 8, mobilise international resources to fill the resource gap internationally to achieve SDG 4 has increased to $150 to $450 billion. Oh, I see. Has increased to $450 billion from $150 billion. I'm going to read that one again. Mobilise international resources to fill the resource gap internationally to achieve SDG 4 has increased to $450 billion. Number 9, cancel loans and debt servicing to low income countries. Number 10, improve organisation focused on learners' achievements at every level. And that's the end of the slideshow.